All right. So we were talking about project quality requirements, and we've given you inputs on project quality requirements. Let's look at stages and sequence of output. I gave you an example in my previous slide, which was more on the toll gates and how stages and sequences of my outputs are being decided. So whether I'm creating, in last chapters I spoke about an automobile industry where we say have designed a car and now it has to go on production. So from design to production, every stage requires an output. So my assembly line will create the body. My engine department will create the engine. My assimilation department will actually get everything together. Then it would go to the furnishing team. And then so every team, the input of one team becomes the output for the other team. So it's important that I have my stages and sequences correctly set. So to read through what we've written on the slide, it says the project may be a sub-project or a part of a bigger project. So exactly what I said about the automobile industry right now, when a car is designed, not necessary we have one team actually delivering the entire project, but input of one team becomes output of the other team, and output of one team becomes the input of the other team. So an interface of particular stages and requires a particular time. So I can't take more than, say, if it's decided, Maruti Udyog tomorrow decides for a car that they have just launched, which talks about K10. If they decide that the body creation of the vehicle is going to take, say, 6 months, so they cannot exceed that 6 months because their output, if it is delayed, is going to delay the entire process of assimilation of the car. So it's important that I have my stages clearly defined and the timeline clearly defined around it. These requirements and consequences of the delay must consider during the initiation and definition phase. Now, that's exactly what's also called from a project management term. It's also called the lag. Now, L-A-G, lag means the buffer that I use in every stage of or the sequence of my output. So maintaining buffer at every stage is very crucial. Why? Because as I said, if you have tight schedules, your quality might get deteriorated, your budgets might shoot up, and of course then the scope changes. The moment my budget shoots up, moment my time shoots up, my scope is changing. So just realize every time that I need to have a buffer for every activity that I do. So as a project manager, if somebody is asking you, somebody for that matter would be your stakeholders in a project, would ask you how much time would it take, if you know practically it would take 10 days, add a buffer of 20% and give it to people, which means 12 days. So that's what your commitment day has to be. Let's look at the next part of it, which we're talking about approval hold point for these outputs. So reading through, the outputs may call for third-party inspection clearance or clearance of an authorized personnel from the end-user customer. So whether it's a testing phase, if you look at any software project that happens, there's an integral phase called as testing. What does that mean? That phase is where the client works very closely with the person who's developed it. And the moment, why do they work together? To ensure that the bugs of the software are removed. So that testing phase of any software is very important. Similarly, in automobile industry, you will have a lot of testing of the cars. And that's exactly why you see these advertisements which talks about banging the car, taking various curvatures, various turns, that clearance, whether the airbags actually come out while a car meets an accident. So a lot of clearance process. If you go to an environmental project, you will find that you require government approvals before doing anything. So if I want to set up, say, a plant in some part of the country, I need to have government clearances. So if I need to have to create a manufacturing setup, For that matter, a pharma setup, pharmaceutical company, I need to have lots of clearances from various organizations who are there. For example, of banking, if I want to launch a bank, I need to have clearances from the SEBI. I need to have clearances from the RBI. So these are third party requirements that you need to fulfill to ensure that your project is on time. All such hold points and the duration must be considered. So looking at say if I'm working around opening up branches for a bank, I need to have approvals from RBI. If I need to have approvals from RBI, I need to consider the duration that will require that it gives me a clearance for the branch that I'm opening up. So quickly, whole points have to be considered right at the initial phase, the documents, the stages, the address, that these aspects must be identified during the initiation phase. Let's look at the capability of executing the project and availability of resources. We've spoken about this. It's critical that we have resources that are required in this entire project. I need to manage as fast as possible and anticipate my resources that would be required during this project. So reading through what is there on the slide, it talks about the capability aspect is very important in order to maximize the utilization of the resources available with the project executor. The inputs also will be used to decide the engagement and allocation of the resources, which means capacity, capability are two different things. So capacity is the consumption. Capability is the ability to execute. So I need to know and define clear competencies of the people working in a project. So you can't have people with a project which you like. You need to have people in your project who can execute, which means not necessary that a friend or a close ally can be a part of the project if he's not competent to do it. So be very, very crucial and objective when you're selecting your team. If the team is capable, the project is bound to be successful, because a competent team can actually deliver projects which have been possible, and we've got long history to talk about it. Whether it's in IT, whether it's in e-commerce today, whether it's been the dams that we've built, whether it's been the energy sector that we've worked in, competent team have always delivered competent projects and great projects. So, reading through the requirements of hired resources and professional services, let the best man do the job. That's the philosophy around it. If available, these inputs will be useful to include them in the project definition. Plan the contract stages, assess the alternatives, combine requirements of different projects to get better deals. Now, when I say this, the skill that is required is called market intelligence and negotiations. So two skills very, very important when I'm actually hiring resources and professional services. Why? Because if I do not have correct market intelligence, if I do not have data that is supporting the project and the why do I need these services, or why do I need to hire resources for the project, I'm going to be shooting up my budget, or I shoot up my time. So, and the moment you shoot up your budget and time, I've been repeatedly saying it's going to change the scope that you work in. Of course, combine requirements of different projects to get better deals. One of a very good practice that organizations do is having a vendor mechanism. What do we mean by vendor mechanism? Is supposedly I want services like delivery, which means communication of my employees. How do my employees commute to office? Now, what do organizations do? They actually go out and appoint travel agencies for this. Now, who can support the employee to from his house to the plant or the office that they work in? Considering the local rates, considering the requirements that they have, they actually ask the travel agencies to give the quotations. They choose the best of three. That's the mechanism in any commercial activity that goes in good organizations. So best of three or best of four or best of five is what they select. Why do you need to do this? Is because you certainly get good amount of market intelligence, because four parties are going to bid for it and four parties are going to do the best of what is possible. The moment they do that, it helps you to get the best cost, best time, best result, and of course, good for your organization. So that's exactly why we need a skill called market intelligence and negotiations as a good project manager. Now, if not available, the same shall be included in the stages. If you do not have a choice, if there's only one vendor. So I went through this. One of the examples is there's a company that I consulted was called Knorr Bremse. They are into rail and train braking systems. Now, one of the part that they design, there's only one vendor across the globe who delivers that. Now, in that process, they have left with no choice but to depend on that vendor for his delivery. So, one of an instance, this dealer or this supplier actually, took, say, it was decided in 15 days. He took 2 months. The entire project was delayed because they don't have a choice. So unless this dealer supplies this machine or this part of the machine, it's not going to be delivered. So important, I need to have a greater market intelligence, good negotiation skills, and I create mechanism if my single dealer fails. I need to have alternative when it is going to affect, because the moment your time is delayed, your project budgets are going to shoot. So I need to ensure that I'm having something as a penalty mechanism for that dealer if he delays, which will reduce the budgets, the costs that I'm incurring, and will help my stakeholders in saving costs. So that's something that you got to ensure when you have a single dealer. Let's look at the next part, when I need to create a project plan. Details about the end user. It's important. I've been saying this. If I don't know where to go, any road is okay. Whatever project I'm working on always will require an end user. So if I don't have an end user, there's no meaning to the project. So it could be a service, it could be a product, it could be a system that will help people to make their lives better. Any project will be initiated for three reasons. If you remember that I'm talking about, you need to save the cost, you need to develop something, or it's a creative process that you would want to go in. So end user, most crucial, because unless this end user says this is good, you take whatever efforts you want to take, it's not going to work for anybody. And then you wasting your money, wasting your time, wasting your energy, wasting human resources. So ensure that your end user is always closed loop when you're working around a project. Whether it's an agile method where you don't know how you're going about, and every 100 kilometers you got to check with somebody, where am I heading to? Or if there is a project that's already been done and you're actually taking and talking to the customer every time when you're working around that project. So reading through what's written on the slide, it says it is always good to have an explicit requirement of the customer or the end user. There are some requirements which are not specified, and the agile method that I was talking about, by the customers, but are inherent requirement of the product and services. So even the customer, I mean, practically most of the time, even the customer doesn't know what he wants, honestly. But as a good consultant, as a good project manager, it is your duty to go ahead very, very proactively and tell the consumer that these are integral parts of the project, these are integral parts of the services or the product that you require, and you've got to ingrain them in the project. I'll read through the slide now. It says, in order to anticipate this, the project manager must know the details of the target customers, your segments, the owner of the project, the end user of the project output. This information can be used to build a rapport with the customer for better understanding of his requirement. Last but not the least is overall budgets. Overall budgets of the project is very, very important to decide the breakups of the budget allocation. If you remember the example that I gave you about NSDC, the National Skill Development Corporation, which has given a budget of close to 1200 crore rupees to Indian education system so that skill development can happen at various states. So the allocation that might come to Maharashtra would be maybe a little less than what would go to Jharkhand, because the development of skill and the opportunities is what you have to balance. So, overall budget of a project is very important to decide the breakup of the budget allocation. Establish control on the same from initiation process. So, as a project manager, my budgets always have to be intact. Why? The moment it shoots up, it is going to pay price somewhere. It's either going to give me stress, it's going to shoot up my time, it's going to shoot up the scope, maybe change the scope, and of course the human resource as well. Hence, clarity of the budget inputs is must from the initiation phase. Also, the result of analysis can be used to bridge the gap, if any, to between the budget estimated and the budget allocated. So I need to completely have control over it. Maybe good softwares today like Excel, MS Project, Primavera. These are softwares that I use to, of course, manage and monitor my cost and the entire project. Let's look at the next thing. We're talking about project specific organizational strategy. If you remember, I gave you an example of Qatar Gas, where safety, because oil and gas is a high risk business, so safety becomes prime importance to them, and hence project specific organizational strategy is very important. Reading through the slide, if you look at it, there may be deviation contradiction in the project contracts and standard organizational business strategies. It is mandatory to resolve these deviations, contradictions during initiation phase. Also, there may be some decisions taken while accepting the project to meet the business strategies by the project executor. Example, to deliver a project in 4 months against the requirement of 8 months and convince the customer to accept the early delivery. Why? Because you're looking at some profits in that quarter and you've got to push your customer to ensure. So that's a project specific organizational strategy to work around. So quickly to give you an example, if you notice, one of an organization that was called Tata Consultancy Services. Now, Tata Consultancy Services has downsized and to make the organization lateral and a little light in the way when it comes to human resources. So they actually had to terminate a lot of people to ensure that they're managing their profits, they're coming up to a mark, they have projects and there are no people sitting just lonely because that's a cost that's incurred. So they had to take a tough stage of actually, terminating employees and loads of employees to ensure that the organization is saved. So I always keep saying this, that no project, no resource or no money or no budget is bigger than the organization or than the project. So hence, be very, very objective when you're actually working around in any projects. Methods of financial allocation, that's what we're going to next check. Finance is more scarce resource of all for all the organization, and hence the methodology to generate the finance, use them effectively and judiciously to accomplish the final project output, must be known to the project manager and all concerned stakeholders for initial stages of the project. Now, I keep giving an example, finance, managing finance from a project management point of view is also a personal habit. So the way you manage your personal finance is going to reflect in your projects. And for me, I mean, I'm a little not good in managing my personal finance. It has always reflected back to my projects. So what do I do personally is I take lots and lots of support when it comes to managing finances. So we will take a deep understanding around this is if you read through what we're talking about is like any other plan, project macro plan shall be complete, actionable, and must clearly define the integration points and interface. To ensure this one can use well, it's a well-known method called 5 W's in 1 H. For all the activities of macro level. So what do I mean by 5 W's? I'm talking about the why, the where, the when, the whom, okay? And the last but not the least, when. So, and the H that we're talking about is how. So if I'm able to answer these 6 questions, I will have all macro level requirements clubbed in. So don't forget this, it is why, it is what, it is when, it is where, and it is who, and of course, how. So 6 questions integral to prepare my project plan or project charter. In response to the macro plan, the stakeholders are expected to do evaluation of their project management aspects and provide the inputs required for next phase. So I've been talking about this, that every input, every output of a stage in a project is the input for the next team to work on. That is project analysis and final project definition. In order to do this effectively, the macro level plan should spell out in explicit term the scope, important word, boundaries and responsibilities of the stakeholder, which means I'm talking about people who are working directly or indirectly and are affected directly or indirectly in my project. Any overlapping must be identified and communicated. Why? Because then people feel I am doing too much every time. So that is something that we have to avoid. Why? And this will help us of miscommunicating, avoiding conflicts in a project. The application is called 5 W's in 1 H philosophy for macro planning shall leave very marginal scope of a problem. Refer the table to the next slide, which explains glossary of 5 W's in 1 H and its relation to the project philosophy will bring us more clarity of the use of the project. So let's look at this. As we said, what, why, who, when, where, and how are the questions that you can ask. Now, it talks about what is the scope, is the output, why is the quality or deliverables, why is the reason basically of your project, all right? So it's a very important thing. Who is the team? When is the stage or the time that's required? And of course, location, where is it? Is it on the site? Is it at the business point? Is it in your office? Where is it going to be affected? And of course, how? What is the method? What is the procedure? What is the budget that you're allocating to this? So, important slide. Keep this in mind every time. I need to ask five questions six questions, five W's and one H. And to make it more simple for you, I generally say there are five wives and one husband. So you just remember the five wives and one husband concept. The moment you remember this, you will remember all the Y's and all the W's and of course all the H of the entire thing. Finalizing the list of stakeholders. If you remember, I gave you an example of Swachh Bharat. So, supposedly in your university premises or your college premises, if you're doing this project, it is integral that you consider everything, every individual directly, indirectly linked to my project. And the moment you get finer to them, because you don't know who's going to come when and ask you questions, it is important that you actually write down the list of people who can be involved directly or not, directly or indirectly in the project. So, finalizing the list of stakeholders is very tricky and crucial task of the project throughout the project life cycle, since stakeholder contribution towards the project shall be deciding factor. Hence, the list of stakeholders must be very exhaustive with critical evaluation of their interactions and interfaces. So, what does that mean? I need to clearly know what is the interest or what can be the interest of every stakeholder. So, in the previous example, I spoke about that you can tag your head of department or you can tag your municipal commissioner at red. Why? Because they are deciding factors of your project. So you've got to ensure that those stakeholders are happy in all the in every project that you're doing in this example. Such a list of stakeholders with their interaction and interface matrix will be useful for building every accurate WBS. Now again, a new word. We introduce a word called project charter. Now we're introducing a word called WBS. So what is a WBS? It's called work breakdown structure, which is a correct flow and sequencing of the activities, the dependencies and overlapping of the activities, the flow and the information required to ensure effective monitoring and control of a project is happening. So if I have a correct WBS, two things will happen. One is, of course, I can control my project really well. Second, I can monitor it every day. Okay, wherever is that? So WBS also gives me one new word, which is called as critical path of my project. And we're going to check about what is critical path and how does critical path important in the project. On the broader scale, the stakeholders are grouped under four categories. We have organizational business group, could comprise of my management stakeholders, the MDs, the CEOs, and all the CXOs of the company. Organization operation group could be your HODs, who will act as the project champ. Then we'll have project team. Project team would be the people who will actually execute the project. And external stakeholders could be your shareholders, could be your customers, and could be anybody who's indirectly also getting affected for the project. So this group stakeholders are one responsible for the business organization in line with the organizational business strategies. They could be the CEOs, they could be the marketing heads, the sales heads, or the product head. And in case of executed against the customer orders, the head may nominate their representatives for the particular project. Why? Because they are along working with bigger strategies and bigger goals along with them. So generally, a project manager gets a representative from these groups. Involved in this group is hired during the project initiation and final stages because they are responsible, rather accountable is the right word for the final product or the service that's getting uplifted. In between, they need to be kept informed about progress of the project. they have these happen due to, with periodic reviews of what you do. Every 15 days there's a project team review. Every 10 days there's a project team review, decided upon, mutually agreed on what should be the time of review. The project manager will have to have close communication and interaction with this group. Why? Because as I told you, these are the most influential people. Where they can affect positively and negatively for your project. So just realize that these stakeholders, unless being happy about how the project is going, your project would go into a beautiful stage if these guys are happy. If they are not, then it might get onto a dead end. Just realize this, and because stakeholders are the key people in any project, because a machine will operate in a simultaneous function and it will give you production as similar as that. But as human beings are different, interests are different, the reasons why they are in the project are different, and as a human interest changes, the project might go haywire. And you've got to remember that the organizational group, which is the business group, is an integral part of your project. If you look at the organized operation group, these are people, or these are people who are into the execution activities. Since the operation group is engaged in routine business activities of the organization, and are not responsible for project execution activities, their role is supporting nature. The project execution team needs to establish very close communication and interaction with the operations group. This is essential and crucial for many activities, since the resources may be common. You might have a software developer who's working on 5 different projects. So utilization of that software developer for your project and accurate time and delivery plays an important role. And that effective planning and utilization is needed. Project managers will be a link between operations and project team for effectively managing the project. This will ensure progress of both the activities, operations and project team. It is ideal to have a common point stakeholder for project operations. Why? Because if you don't have a common point for your operations, then it might just deteriorate the way you're operating your project. Always demand as a project manager for a single point contact between the management and the execution team. That will give you a bigger confidence of delivering the project, so that there is one single point and exactly you know when to go, where to go, when there's a difficulty, when there's a decision to be taken, when there's a review to make, or maybe monitor a project. The next is, of course, project team members. These are people who are executioners. These are people who will go and deliver. These are people who physically work on that project. So project team members are members from different functional groups are the key stakeholders of all projects. These members are involved in project activities around the clock and are ensuring the required pace in project process of the project. These functional groups will include planning, designing, procurement, manufacturing, inspection, packaging, preservations, and delivery, installation, service groups, in addition to the functional group of support that is required, such as IT, maintenance, housekeeping, accounts, finance, legal, human resources, should appear in the stakeholder list. So pick up every department, whoever is directly and indirectly required for this project, and ensure that you have a strong list of the people who would deliver your project tomorrow. The frequency of communication and the interaction of the functional group is the highest where the frequency service group is limited. The dependencies are highest, of these activities is highest within the group, and hence interfacing and integrating all these activities is the utmost important. So when we say integration, what do we mean by that? Integration in all levels, whether it is subjective to product, whether it's subjective to services, your methods that you're applying, your processes that you're applying, or you're applying to human behaviors. So integration of thoughts is also important. Integration of facets is also important. Integration of the way you're looking towards the project and the goal of the project has to be completely integrated. Because a team who's integrated will always, as I've been saying this, will always give you better results than a team that who's not integrated. Only the functional heads may appear in the stakeholder list, but the information and communication must reach to every member in the group. So Practically, the project manager plays the role of a navigator. I mean, every time he plays a role of a navigator, and of course he drives this entire entire project. So once he's driving this entire project, important for him is to know when, who, and where should the information go. So, not necessary at every stage, every member actually should get all the information, because the members at the lower level of the organization, ideally the project team members, maybe will not understand the information that is being flowed. So important is what is the kind of information, and where should it flow and what level. So while you're marking your emails, be cautious about when you're giving this information to people, because information in today's world is called king of everything. So every information that you provide to your stakeholders becomes important, and it can actually take every, you know, step by step your project can move forward. External team members or external stakeholders, these stakeholders which are not employed members of the project execution organization. These mainly include your customers, suppliers, contractors, bankers, engineering services providers, or other services providers. So one of the services that I provide, I work as an external stakeholder with a lot of project teams today, where I work as a mentor, or work as a coach with them to ensure that the project is going smooth. So the interaction of these stakeholders is limited, and generally with project manager, functional heads, or organizational stakeholders. It's necessary to identify them, decide the interaction frequency, integration point, and mode of communication with them. Sharing the information with this group of stakeholders must be kept limited extent as per the organizational strategy. So you can't just let out all the information to the external stakeholders, whether it's your customer for that matter. So you've got to ensure that the information that is going is being approved by your organizational stakeholders, and then you can go ahead and involve them into the communication. Communicating the proposed macro plan, project charter for inputs requirement is as soon as the inputs are available, the stakeholders list is prepared by the team of project managers, stakeholders from business and operation group and functional group. The macro level plan shall be prepared now. If you look at it, the objectives of preparing and communicating a macro level plan primarily are, of course, communicating all the stakeholders that this particular project is initiated under the leadership of Mr. XYZ. So that's one title that you have to give. Communicating the scope of the project. So why are we doing it? How are we doing it? Completely. Communicating the targeted unique output of this project. So what is the output and how it's going to help the organization is important. Communicating the overall schedule, timeline of the project. So when it's going to happen. Communicating the team organization or all the stakeholders. So who is involved into it. Communicating the project approval requirement, what all are the toll gates that are important. Communicating the assumptions and constraints, if any. So what are the constraints that are involved into it? What are the challenges that you would face while you're going through this, and what are the methods that you would mitigate them? As risk, communicating responsibilities and overall methodology of an operation. So is it a fast-moving project, it's a slow-moving project, whether it's a research-oriented project, what is the project all and what should be the methodology. Communicating the organizational strategies and contracts detail in the case of project against customer orders. So customer orders, hence the who's going to benefit it. The customer is going to benefit it with the product and services that you're going to share, and of course you will have the revenues for your organization as well. Getting inputs from all the aspects of projects for project analysis and micro level planning. So post this stage, you can actually move on to micro level planning of the project. So to sum it up, for creating a project plan, it is important that I answer the six integral questions. Don't forget, we are talking about five wives and one husband. Just don't forget this, all right? Why, what, who, where, and when, and how. So my entire project plan, the macro level project plan, has to have these answers of six questions.